the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Monday Morning Podcast. One of my faves, Aqib Talib, joins us in about 7-8 minutes. I've got a lot of thoughts over, I watched every single NFL preseason game, and let's just go into the quarterbacks because that's what most of us were drawn to, the quarterbacks. So for the sake of this rant, let's include Jordan Love in the rookie quarterbacks. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Jordan Love, since he didn't dress last year. I thought of those six, five had moments of brilliance, and Mac Jones may be in the perfect situation. I don't think he has a terribly high ceiling, but New England's not going to ask him to do things that the Bears are going to ask Justin Fields to do behind a fairly patchwork offensive line. They just brought in Jason Peters. So let's start with Justin Fields. 6'3", 228, size is fine, arms excellent. I think what you're going to see with that offensive line and really limited skill people after Allen Robinson, you know, it's a bunch of emerging young wide receiver talent. Cole Kmet's a very good young tight end, but he's a young tight end. They have one running back who got dinged up. They don't have a ton of depth at the skill positions. So they're going to lean on Justin Fields a lot. A source I trust told me that he struggled his first couple of weeks in camp, but over the last week, it's really come around. He's a kid that because he doesn't have a lot of weapons, not a lot of receivers can get themselves open. He's going to look downfield, and if the first or second option isn't there, he's going to flush out to the right and run a lot. The good news is he'll make a lot of plays, a lot of plays. He looked a little nervous early, but he's a huge talent, and I think he's going to start game one. Trey Lance, I thought he looked as good as any of them. Not a shock. He's got arguably the best offensive coach and the best roster. That's something we have to add context to this stuff. I mean, I watched Jacksonville play Cleveland. Does Jacksonville have two starters that would start for Cleveland? Does Jacksonville have five starters on their second team that would start for Cleveland? I mean, that's just a total physical mismatch in some of these games. So Trey Lance, the Niners have a Super Bowl roster and a Super Bowl coach. I thought Trey looked great. I also think that offense is complex. He'll continue to grow. I think Garoppolo starts the season. He has a very lively arm, super athletic, great size. I think, you know, he is the one quarterback that I think has a chance to advance in his first year in the playoffs. Trey Lance could be the starting quarterback end of this year and win a playoff game, largely because of what's around him. Listen, veteran quarterbacks need help. Young quarterbacks need more help. But I think Trey Lance is in a perfect situation. He's got playmakers all over the place. Brandon Ayuk, Kittle, Trevor Lawrence made two great throws. It's a bad team. It's a complete, utter gut job. It is a remodel. It's a rehab. He made two great throws against a far superior roster. Cleveland's got a top three roster in the NFL. Jags got a bottom two roster. I don't know what to take of it. He looked comfortable. He made a great throw up the sideline. There's not a lot I can say. I think he's going to win about six games. Urban Meyer needs one more draft and one more free agency period to really compete on an even playing field. Zach Wilson, as we suspected, very lively arm and moves well. He does look small. I think he has the fourth best coach in his division. There have been some comparisons made to Aaron Rodgers in the way the ball comes out of his hand. It's very lively. It looks beautiful. As I've said, he's a little small for me. He's got the worst roster, probably the fourth best coach in a division. You can just put down 0-4 against the Patriots and the Bills. Just put 0-4 down. Probably 0-6 if you put in the Dolphins. He is going to be fighting uphill. Of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think he has the worst spot. I love Joe Douglas. But listen, the kid made a couple of really quick, clever throws. And I will say this. This team is not bereft of talent. The offensive line, they have a very good left tackle. Elijah Vera Tucker, I mean, they've got some talent here. I mean, Darnold was pressured on 42% of the snaps last year. That is just, from a franchise standpoint, embarrassing. So between Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker, the Jets are in far better shape up front. Mac Jones, low ceiling, not a playmaker. He is not the ideal quarterback for 2021-22 NFL football. But I said this on TV last week. The Patriots do not have the kind of offensive talent that can overcome turnovers. And I can very easily see that franchise and that coaching staff talking themselves into Mac Jones and occasionally bringing in packages for Cam Newton near the goal line. Mac Jones can get you out of trouble at the line of scrimmage, can get you into the right formation. He's a more accurate thrower, good feet, steady, you know, throws a nice deep ball, doesn't have a huge arm. But again, you know what New England's going to look like this year? They're going to look like the Miami Dolphins last year. Now, the Dolphins this year have added Jaylen Waddle, Will Fuller. So they're going to have a lot more speed and punch on the perimeter. New England is going to look a lot like Miami last year with Tua playing. They went 10-6. Tua went 6-3 with below average quarterback play. But great coaching, great defense, good special teams. The difference is New England has maybe the best screen game in the NFL next to San Francisco and all sorts of depth at running back. So, you know, the interesting thing about this, if you told me at the end of the year Mac Jones and Trey Lance were the winningest of these quarterbacks, that would make a lot of sense to me, even though I think Mac Jones has an incredibly low ceiling. And then Jordan Love, he got dinged up. I saw about 5 minutes of Jordan Love. He is the quarterback I saw the least of. He had a lively arm. He looked in control. He looked comfortable. I thought he played well. You know, he's in the most unique position of all these quarterbacks. The fans aren't crying out for him. He's got a really good team. There's no urgency on his improvement. That's a really comfortable place to be. So I thought all these guys looked good. Here's what didn't look good. It may have been the worst weekend of offensive line play I've seen in my life. So what is happening right now? There's a division. There's the Belichick coaches and the Sean McVay coaches. If you looked at the number of players, starters, that were held out, the Rams, with Sean McVay, had 38 players held out. Next was Matt LaFleur, his buddy. I think they had like 30, 32 players held out. Many of the young coaches, this is a cultural change. They're following the lead of their Pied Piper, Sean McVay, the young guy to get to a Super Bowl. They're not playing any of their top players. Now, who did play a lot of starters? Belichick, Bruce Arians, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, a lot of the veteran coaches. Generationally, we're going to play our guys. So, I mean, Tampa clearly doesn't have to play their guys, but Bruce Arians played them. But for a lot of these teams, I mean, how many great offensive lines were there in the NFL last year? Colts was really good. Rams graded high. I thought it was a good offensive line. I didn't think it was great. Dallas, when healthy, is good. It's no longer great. I thought the Raiders was underrated. Okay, those teams now are not playing starting offensive linemen. And the one unit in the NFL that is worse than 10 years ago, it feels like to me, is offensive line. I think there's more great edge rushers, far more great wide receiver and tight end talents, more good young quarterbacks, tons of DBs and safeties I like, linebackers, athletes everywhere. Offensive line play has regressed. Some of it is college football now. All these teams run the spread. You get very few Wisconsin, Michigan offensive linemen that come out of college ready to grade a road. These guys just, they're not as physical as what college football produced 10 years ago, and there's less hitting at practice. There's less practice, so the symmetry and the chemistry with offensive lines, to me, is eroded over the last half decade or more. So I thought that was noticeable. The Colts had arguably the best offensive line in the NFL last year. Their offensive line against Carolina was pathetic. It was embarrassing at left tackle. They got to get Eric Fisher back really badly. Here's something else that jumped out to me. We all discussed the Brady-Belichick split and how valuable Brady was to Belichick. But we've really never discussed how valuable Drew Brees was for Sean Payton. If you watch that Saints game, they had 6 turnovers. They don't know who the starting quarterback is. Both quarterbacks are limited. One's turnover prone and one is just an average thrower. Michael Thomas now and Sean Payton are at odds. to get under the cap, they've had to get rid of multiple high-end defensive players. You know, Pete Carroll had a losing record in the NFL pre-Russell Wilson. Bill Belichick is now losing post-Tom Brady. I think we've just overlooked how crucial Breeze was to New Orleans. And much like Brady, it's not just his play. He was the soul of the franchise. I mean, how many guys have we seen, offensive linemen, cry as they leave the Saints and retire, or they're traded? I mean, Gerald McCoy, who played against him in Tampa, told me on the air one time, he was the most important person in the league for him as a Buccaneer early in his career, constantly calling him, checking on him, making sure he was okay, giving him guidance. So we can talk Brady and Belichick, but Breeze and Peyton, somebody I trust who bets a lot of money on football, said he thinks Vegas makes very few mistakes, but they have whiffed on the Saints. He thinks it's a 7-win team. That's it. And listen, did you really think New England would be the BB gun they were last year? I mean, don't kid yourself. If Michael Thomas doesn't play, this is New England's offense. That's what it is. It's New England's offense last year. No cheap points. And if you're going to rely on Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston for 12 play drives, good luck. Those are not 12 play drive quarterbacks. Well, we talked about the cultural change in the NFL. There's the Belichick coaches who play their starters in the preseason, the Pied Piper McVay coaches who don't play their starters. Here's a guy who played with both Aqib Talib, the five-time Pro Bowler and the Super Bowl winner. All right, let's start with this, Aqib. You just went on vacation. Where does Aqib Talib go on vacation?
Oh, man, this was, before I tell you where I went, though, Colin, this was probably my number one trip. Me and the wife got away from the kids. The SLS Bahamas. That's a nice vibe there. It's a great vibe, Colin. I mean, if you go with the wife, you're going to have a great time. If a single dude went alone, he'd have a great time. If you go with the kids, you'll have a great time. So it's checking all boxes, man. It's everything from beaches to the so many pools, water park there, casino 24 hours. It's a great time, man. So, you know, we went out there for 6 days. We had a great time.
Who tipped you off to it?
You know, the wife, she stays on the internet doing some stuff, man. So, you know, she's seen it somewhere. I don't even know. She's seen it somewhere. And, you know, send me some pictures and stuff. I'm like, where is that? She said it was the SLS Bahamas. Great time.
By the way, it looks like you're in a new room. Is this your house? You're going upscale.
Yeah, I'm at home. I'm at home today, man. I just came from calling the game yesterday. I landed about 2 hours ago. So I was too tired to move around. I'm taking care of business from home today.
Man, which game did you call? You're going to call games for Fox this year. Who'd you call?
Well, I didn't do for Fox yesterday. I did the Rams preseason game. I got the Rams preseason as well. So called that first game, Rams Chargers yesterday.
Listen, those coaches, we were just talking about this. The young coaches, they don't want to play any of their good players. You know who did play? Belichick, Tomlin, Arians, Reed. Yes. They all play their dudes.
All the old school. They want to see.
Yeah. So let me tell you. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer the McVay guys and the young guys who aren't playing them? The veteran coaches who want to play them? Like, did you want to play preseason?
Well, I ain't going to lie, Colin. When I was young, I say up to about like year 7 or year 8, I used to like to get my preseason games in, man. Let me play one series the first game. Let me play 3 series the second game. And let us play a quarter and a half that third game. So I just used to, it's a certain balance that you play with, right? I talked about this on the game yesterday. It's a certain balance that you play with, and they call it like getting your feet up under you, right? Where you're not tripping and falling. Even if you look at football early in the season, it's a lot of linemen on the ground and stuff. Just because people don't got their feet up under them, you don't got that many full speed reps yet. So I used to like to get my little jitters out and, you know, slow down real quick and get my feet up under me. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't mind a preseason, but once I got year 9, year 10, I can kind of get my feet up under me in these first 2 games. You know what I'm saying? I know how to do that now. You know what I'm saying? I know how I'm smart enough where I'm not gonna get beat because when I'm getting my feet up under me, I might not make as many plays, but we'll be rolling week three, week four.
We've all had that dream. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25 wager or more on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game. Max $25. Make your MLB picks per the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Same game parlays preferred. Any local player you would place a 25-plus home run wager on this Tuesday to opt in to the promotion?
I'm going with Shohei Ohtani Tuesday night at Detroit. The Tigers have allowed the fourth most home runs in the American League, and Ohtani, I don't know if you've heard, likes hitting home runs.
There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. Great odds, all different betting markets, unique fun, bet types like same game parlay, which is great. Their same game parlay is fantastic. Always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game. And when you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. They do. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up, promo code Colin to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Colin. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. And 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey.
Now, the current trend in the NFL is more inner squad scrimmages, and like the Panthers will go to Indy and practice against the Colts. Did you ever get shit out of any of that stuff? Is it intense enough to matter?
Oh, hell yeah. That's work. That's the highest practice tempo. That's the closest thing you can get to the game. Cause sometimes in training camp, there's even fans out there. So you have another team. We went to Oakland. I went to a bunch of teams. So you have fans out there. So, you know, you don't want to get beat in front of fans. So that's going to crank you up a little bit. And then you're playing against other guys. You're against another squad. So it's not quite a game, but it's the closest you're going to get to the game. So that's great work. And I think that's a big reason why Sean and Coach Staley and those guys don't play their guys, because they like, that's all we need right there. We're doing everything but take you to the ground in them inner squad scrimmages. So. You get a lot out of it.
You know, it was interesting. I was really excited to see Justin Fields. First of all, I know Trevor Lawrence is going to be good, but he's not going to win a lot of games. Jordan Love's not going to play. I kind of know what Mac Jones does and doesn't do. Trey Lance is going to a great coach and a great team, probably won't start, but he'll succeed. To me, Justin Fields is a guy that it could go either way. Now, I'm a huge fan of his, but let's be honest. He may have a different coach by year two. He'll have a different coordinator by year two. I don't love their roster. They have very few elite offensive players. When I watched him, I thought he was a little nervous early, but I think sometimes, Akib, people don't add context. That's a bad O-line. I mean, it's patchwork. They just signed Jason Peters, who I thought was like going to retire. What did you make of the Bears' young quarterback when you watched him?
Well, I didn't watch the game. I was calling that game my own game yesterday, but I did watch the highlights, you know, hear the talk and stuff. And from what I've seen on the highlights, man, and just what I've seen in the past, it's there. It's a certain, we call it it. It's there. Just that confidence, that ability to get in there and actually be the quarterback and not tear this thing to pieces, right? So I think it's there. So long as he keep playing with that confidence, man, and he got a number one receiver over there, I think he's going to be all right, man. It's one guy take you so far. If you just know that you got a guy who can win, even when he ain't open, he can win over there. So his number one receiver going to help him out a lot, and that confidence going to help him out a lot, man. As long as he keep those two things, man, I think he's in good shape.
Now, who was the youngest quarterback you ever played with?
I'll say Josh Freeman. I mean, he was a rookie. Came in as a rookie. He played.
Okay, let's go back to it. He had some moments. Josh had talent.
Yeah.
When did you feel like during the Josh Freeman moments, it's not going to work? Was there a moment you thought, this just doesn't feel quite as good as it needs to be?
Knowing like what I know now, I probably say like when he out with me, right? When it's Thursday and we vibing, it probably ain't gonna work. He ain't supposed to be here. He ain't supposed to be where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? But back then, you know, I didn't know no better then. I'm thinking this the NFL, right? This how guys do. But just when the confidence start to leave, man, when we start to make plays against you in practice and you're just not the same guy, you know, you're not the same guy in the building, you're not up-tempo, whole lot of jokes in the building when you have a bad day against us and it kind of change you, then, you know, a bad day in the game is probably going to change you even worse. So I say, man, I don't know. I played against Josh too in college, so I believed in him, but I don't know if I ever thought Josh was gonna come in and like be, you know, Troy Aikman or somebody. Like, you know what I'm saying, I don't know if I ever thought that. I thought he got a big arm. I don't really know what to expect.
Well, you played with the GOAT. You played with Josh that didn't work, and you played with Goff that worked good enough to get to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. McVay lost confidence last year in Goff. I think it was the 49er game. He had a couple of bad turnovers. You know, when you were with Goff, did you think it was going to work long term, or did you think it was more McVay making it work or Goff making it work?
Well, when I was with Goff, I felt like they was the perfect team, honestly. I felt like Sean is a big personality. He wants stuff done like this. Jared is kind of laid back. You know what I'm saying? You could tell him he cool. All right, bet. Cali guy. You know what I'm saying? He laid back. Boom, get the job done. I'm going to execute what you're trying to get done. He had a big arm. You want guys to run big post corners. Boom. Bend this way and then bend back this way. Boom, I got to let that thing go. Jared can make all those throws. I can see him. I got to roll this way, set up, throw an override over here. Jared can make all those throws. So I thought that Jared could get the job done. And I thought that Sean did a good job relaying his message and leading. So I didn't think it was one-sided. I thought it was both of those guys who really did their job.
Most people think Matt Stafford and Sean McVay will work. Do you?
I think they will. Just cause they both vets. They both got that common goal, man. They both like right at that point where, you know, we gotta win. They both at that we gotta win part. So I think they both gonna kind of put their ego to the side a little bit. So they can get that done, man. And Matthew Stafford been through it all. He's talented. And you know, he played a lot of football. He'd be like a coach on the field. That's what he explained to me. He said, you say coach on the field, but this situation, you really, really almost got like a coach on the field, man. That's how well he know schemes and he know defenses. He know pre-snap stuff. So I think it'll work, man. I think that'd be good. And then they got a badass defense to play with too, man. That always helps.
Well, yeah, you're not in shootouts every week, right?
Exactly. You don't... Like he was in Detroit.
Now, you faced him how many times, Matt Stafford, in your career? Because you did a lot of AFC stuff, so you probably didn't face him a ton.
I think I faced him twice. I'd say twice.
How'd you do?
I was solid. I mean, the first time I think he threw a bunch of deep balls to Calvin, man. I got a lot of safety help. It was jump balls, me and Calvin. Calvin had two touchdowns that game. One was in two man. Our safety leaned into the tight end, Pettigrew, when we got Calvin Johnson over here. Don't lean to Pettigrew when Calvin Johnson is over here with me, right? And then it was a hitch and go, too. So, you know, not all the way my fault. That was like 20 yards. And one was the hurry up. Quick fade that's on the highlight. Every time you see highlights, I'm on his highlight tape, on Calvin Johnson's highlight tape. But he only had 66 yards. 66 yards, two touchdowns. The second game, he had zero touchdowns. He had 70-some yards. I followed him left to right both games. So I fared pretty well. And then the first game when he had two touchdowns, 66 yards, I had an interception for a touchdown. So I matched one of the touchdowns with him.
Now, Stafford, unlike Goff, he'll let it loose. He'll take some chances. You sense that?
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. I played against him twice, and both times, a few times I had some great coverage, and I ain't no slouch on no deep balls. People don't just throw me deep balls, right, Colin? I ain't never really just got balls just thrown up to me, right? Matt Stafford did. He did when I was in Tampa. He did when I was in Denver. You know what I'm saying? I think that was the year we won the Super Bowl too. So this was lead, you know what I'm saying? And he threw balls that way, man. So he gonna let it go. Tight windows and everything. He gonna let it go.
So it's hard to say who's good, who's not. You know, my takeaway is, let's talk Mac Jones on Thursday night. So if you were Belichick and you know him, you were there for years, right? They can make two arguments. They can make the argument that we don't have a ton of playmakers. We need a playmaker at quarterback. Cam will give us something Mac won't. Or they can make this argument as a staff, Aqib. Okay, we're not talented enough offensively to turn the ball over.
Right.
Okay, Mac Jones, more accurate, gets the ball out quickly, not going to run around. You know, Cam last year had picks. He has fumbles. They right. can make two compelling arguments. We need Cam's playmaking, or you know what? We want a guy that just delivers the ball, distributes, get us in and out of trouble, and then lets our defense win. Your right. gut feeling on which way Belichick, you're around and which way he'd go?
I definitely think he'd go Cam, just because I think Bill is big on leadership, right? And he know, man, who gonna be the best leader in that huddle? And that's by far Cam. So I think Bill think, even though Mac Jones might be more accurate, he might be, you know, slower to throw something in the traffic, and you know what I'm saying? He'll throw the check down quicker than Cam. He might try not, I ain't gonna mess this thing up. I might not make no plays. I ain't gonna mess this thing up though. He know he gonna get that, but who's gonna be the best leader in this huddle? You know what I'm saying? When things get tough, who gonna keep the guys together? Who gonna, you know, rally the troops when fourth quarter, when they need to be rallied? And you gotta say that's Cam.
Are you surprised? Cam struggled most of last year, though. But are you surprised that the Patriot culture and Cam have worked? Because by and large, he compliments it. Belichick compliments him. There's been no rough spots. I mean, last year we got COVID in the middle of the year, so I kind of gave him a pass. At the end of the year, I thought he played pretty well. Are you kind of surprised? I am. I'm surprised it works.
Me being there, I'm not surprised it worked. Because Cam is a leader. Like I said, he's a great leader. And you're not going to outwork him. He one of them guys, like, I might be Hollywood, I might dress like this, but he worked hella hard, like Odell. He one of those kind of guys, man. You're not going to match their work. And it's shit like that build respect. If you're a leader and you work like that, you competitive like that, you bow down to nobody. I compete against anybody, any whatever. It don't matter who my receiver is. Let's go. Build respect that, man. So, and Cam different, man. I'm telling you, that leadership he got, it's you got leaders, then you got guys like Cam. So he top-notch leader, man. He going to bring guys all the way together. So Bill feel that in the building.
As I watched all this stuff this weekend, I thought Minnesota is going to be a team that's going to really bounce back. I think Zimmer's a pretty good coach. They had a ton of injuries. Then I watched them against Denver, and God, they were atrocious. Everything was bad. Punting was bad. Do you take, if I'm listening to this podcast, do you take anything from the preseason? Go back to your career. Was there ever something, Aqib, that you saw in your preseason and you're like, it stayed with you all season? You just never got better at it.
Nah, definitely. I don't think so, man. Preseason almost like a practice. You tackling guys, but it's not full speed. It might be full speed for them young guys when the starters and stuff in there, man. You still can't go full speed. If it ain't for all the marbles, which is a win or a loss, you're just not going to go your full speed. So I don't take too much from it, man. Guys going to go play hard. But, you know, if they go play the same game next week, they may do that to Denver. You know what I'm saying? So it's more like a practice to me. It's more like a full speed turned up practice. So I don't know. Denver looked good, though, man. I ain't want to take nothing away from Denver. That's what I don't want to do on here. I don't want to take nothing away from Denver. Drew Locke looked great. The play calls looked great. The O-line looked great, man. So I don't want to take nothing away from those guys. Those guys came out and did what they're supposed to do. Y'all think we the underdogs we playing? They came out and punched them boys in their face. So But that's kind of how practice is. Like, if you when you had those joint practices, usually this is how they go. So the whoever like the you know the alpha team, they usually come out and beat the shit out of the other team the first day. Then the next day they kind of get off the gas, and that other team, underdog team, will kind of beat their ass the next day. Then the alpha team will kind of beat their ass, and then go back and get on the bus. Like, yeah, we beat y'all ass last. You know what I'm saying? Then usually you play them in a game, and you usually the alpha team usually beat their ass in that game. So it just kind of went the opposite this time. They kind of went back and forth in practice, and then when they showed up to the game, the underdog team came out with all the energy and run them boys off the field. So
you're gonna do work with Gus Johnson this year for Fox, and
yes,
you
sir.
Sound so. One of the reasons we hired you at the Volume, because I said nobody sounds like Aqib on the air. He's very raw and authentic. And all these analysts, a lot of them just sound alike. They're safe. They're predictable. So when you did a game last year, I remember you had this suit on. People were talking about your suit. They were talking about your style. Do you like doing games? If so, why?
I do like doing games. And I like doing them because I think it's the closest that you get to playing without playing. I mean, maybe coaching, right? Because I coach my son's team. They 8 years old. But like when the game in there, it's like, I want to go play, but I can't play. So you like in the game, right? So I say playing, you in the game. Coaching, that's the closest you're going to get to playing in the game. And then when you're in that box, I feel like that's the third step. That's the closest you're going to get. If you ain't playing or coaching, that's the closest you can get to the game because you like the voice of the game, man. So you full speed, you in it. You in it with the players. And, you know, we love that. We addicted to that. So I still get that fix.
Does the game move faster or slower to you when you broadcast it?
Oh, it moves faster right now. I'm a rookie. I'm a young guy. So I guess in the league, they say you're still a rookie till you play like 4 games or something, right? So I ain't called 4 games, so I'm still a rookie. You know what I'm saying? So it goes so fast in that booth. Football used to go slow to me, especially by year 5, year 6. It was slow.
You did the Chargers-Rams. Give me one or two moments or one or two players you took from that game that you liked, that you're worried about. Is there anything that one or two things in that game, either side, that jumped out to you?
Well, Josh Palmer from the Chargers, he came out and was huge. Just his physique. I just looked at him like, damn, he got the single digit on. And, you know, I don't know, the single digit making guys look huge right now. So he had the 5 on. And I just imagine Mike Williams, him. And Keenan, that's a bad receiving core right there, man. With an O-line, man. And on the other side, Jacob Harris, the tight end, I just seen his movement live. That was my first time seeing him in person, seeing his movement, seeing his size. They make it seem like, you say, you know, 6'5", 219, make it seem like he a real, like, receiver, skinny kind of guy. But he actually got some size. He a tight end. You know what I'm saying? Next year, you would be 10 pounds heavier. You a real tight end. So. And he got work. He really got some routes in the red zone. He really can fill a void that the Rams really don't have right now. Like, you know, a jump ball target in the red zone. I liked those two things leaving that game.
By the way, you have a great eye for talent. So Tom Telesco is a friend of mine, the Chargers GM. And when they drafted Palmer, he said, you know, Tennessee didn't have a very robust offense. And, you know, Calvin Johnson played with a quarterback in college that didn't throw the ball terribly well, but we all knew Calvin was great. But Palmer, I said this when they got drafted, I said, don't be shocked if he's a rookie of the year candidate. So he popped out to you first game you saw him.
First game I seen him, they targeted him like 5 or 6 times early. And he just looked, I'm ahead of the guys who in the game right now. I'm just a little bit ahead of y'all. You know, I just look comfortable. His moves, catch the ball, get upfield. He ain't really catching nothing downfield, but he was just in there. He was active. He was working. And that's, I already seen what he do on 50-50 balls in college. So I know he could do that. And just his confidence and how he moved and his size, that's what jumped out to me.
Do you remember your first preseason game?
Hell yeah. Against the Dolphins, you know, I made my first tackle. It was on Ricky Williams. Tackle Ricky Williams. My first person I tackled in the NFL was Ricky Williams. Shot his legs out. They had to, you know, crack replace. The receiver went to go crack, so I had to come off crack replace. Ricky Williams bounced to the outside. Bop, hit them legs. Took them legs out. Nice little tackle, too. Huh? Like, shit. In my NFL films got it. I think I was mic'd up or something.
That's real. Funny that you remember that.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
So here we go into another season. Give me your AFC NFC championship. Let's put it on tape. I'm gonna go. I like Buffalo a lot. It's not that I don't like Kansas City. They're everybody's favorite. I think Buffalo. I think Baltimore is going to be a handful. I think Cleveland's going to be a handful. I think the Chargers are going to surprise people. You know, it's not going to be Buffalo, Kansas City, because it's never the teams we think.
Right. So you got to go outside the box.
I'm going to go crazy here. Chargers, Bills, AFC. Throw me out. What do you got?
Oh, my damn socks was falling. I'm thinking about that preseason game. My damn socks was falling down and shit. Chris Sims was on my ass. Like, fix your socks, bro. I said, all right, let me get off that preseason game. Look, all right, AFC Chip. I'm going to go Chiefs, Browns.
I got no problem with it.
Chiefs, Browns.
Odell Beckham comes back. Great offensive line. Baker finally has a legitimate head coach. Okay, NFC.
They got the pieces to play Joe Woods' defense. Joe Woods, super, super, super similar to Wade Phillips. You see, come here, John Johnson. Come here, Troy. He just got some bodies in his secondary. He got some more cover guys. Come here, Newsom. He a man guy. Come here. He got guys who really fit the description of that Joe Woods defense. I think that defense is going to be totally different this year.
Let's go to the NFC. You have to take Tampa simply because they have the best roster. Seattle's not a complete team. My gut feeling is when Cam Akers got hurt, the Rams are missing a leg on the bar stool. They just don't have a running game. I'll probably go Seattle-Tampa is my guess. I don't think Seattle's a complete team. I still have questions on the interior of the offensive line. But I do think Russell Wilson just wins so many close games. I'd go Seattle-Tampa. What would be your call?
Seattle-Tampa? Let me get outside the box a little bit, man. I'm going to go. I like that West. I think somebody definitely got to represent in the West. I'm going to go Tampa-Arizona. I like Arizona to catch fire, man. And You know,
it's funny. Last 2 years, as they were in a rebuild, Arizona's given the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Niners fits in a total rebuild.
They know how to play them guys. That's so as okay as coach has been over there, right? He doing good in the division. So he know how to play his division, and that's the most important thing, man. Everything else will come around. 1 year, you will catch fire. As long as you know how to win in your division, You in good shape, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I also think that division could largely be dictated by who's healthiest. The healthy team may just win. I mean, it's you know, if Garoppolo goes down early and Trey's got to play, that's not ideal, right?
That's not ideal.
If Dwayne Brown got hurt, left tackle for Seattle, that's a bad O-line overnight.
Exactly.
All right, Akib, as always, great stuff, man.
Colin, appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
We have a major announcement Tuesday. Very exciting. I've been looking for somebody for 8-9 months. We found that person. Follow us at The Volume Sports, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe. Talk soon.
The volume.